who need surgery.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
On Joy 94.9. That's right. You're on Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. We've just come out from Lady Gaga's Poker Face. I'm Ruby.
I'm Tim.
I'm Anthony. And God, I love Lady Gaga.
Yeah, this was your pick, wasn't it?
I was obsessed with her. I used to fantasize about meeting her and falling in love with her and living happily ever after.
Me too. And what's great is she's bisexual, so that could have happened to either of us.
Yeah, she's one of us.
Equal chance that either of us could have met Lady Gaga and gotten married.
Well, you're here on Tuesday night, Triple Bypass, again for another show with us to discuss all things bisexual, apparently.
All things bisexual and fabulous. And I suppose, speaking of marrying Lady Gaga, or marriage equality, or as it's being called a lot in the media, gay marriage, is a pretty big topic in the media at the moment, as both major parties flex some muscle over who's going to let it through and exactly who's listening to Malcolm Turnbull. But yeah, it's being called gay marriage a lot. Is that just me? Am I just noticing that?
Gay marriage. That's all they say.
Gay rights. Yeah, a lot. Like even the ABC. Which, you know, and I understand, I very much understand why, of course, you know, the weddings, that it's talking about same-sex weddings, and people assume, you know, same-sex people getting married, they're gay. It's an understandable assumption, but it is like that kind of, you know, instant thing of, oh, but I want to get married, and that's not a gay marriage.
Yeah.
That's a bisexual marriage.
I mean, it's such an exclusive term, isn't it, to call it gay marriage. It just kind of excludes such a big part of the community. And it really, when we use the term gay, we tend to associate that with gay males or same-sex attracted males.
Mm.
So that drives me nuts whenever I hear the term gay marriage, for that reason and for many others, but that definitely.
Well, I know that, you know, there's a reason that a lot of, like, you know, organisations that are run by queer people are called marriage equality organisations, because that seems to have been, like, the kind of decided term that's inclusive. It's just saying, you know, we just want marriage to be available for all consenting adults. Mm. Everyone's equal. And I think, you know, that's a pretty reasonable term. I guess it's always a matter, though, of, like, trying to keep up with what is the correct terminology. And I understand that for people who are not involved in the community daily, or even, like, you know, regularly, that can seem really difficult to try and know exactly what's okay and what's not.
But it sounds so. Yes, I agree. But if you think about it, saying the two words marriage equality is kind of not a difficult thing to do.
Mm.
But the meanings that are attached to it, I guess, the reasons why it's important that we call it marriage equality, not gay marriage, I think they're the things that people struggle with. And you know, it sounds like, you know, preferencing male relationships yet again, even with gay relationships.
Well, they're the ones that people have probably seen more than others. You know, they're the ones that have been, like, on media. Like Will and Grace was a really popular, you know, television show in the United States about gay guys.
Yes.
But I suppose, I mean, you know, if I'd love to know what everyone else thinks, you know, you can message us at 0427JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.au. What do you think about what we should be calling should we be expecting more from media to actually be using this inclusive terminology? I think so.
Yeah. I mean, should we be calling it bi marriage? Gay marriage, lesbian marriage, trans marriage, bi marriage, Greek marriage.
Well, I suppose, like, you know, I would say that, you know, it is a bi marriage, that you can marry, and now at any point, anyone can marry a man or a woman. That's bisexuality.
Works
right
for me,
there. We've got to work towards legalizing that. We just got a message in. So that is from Sandra from St. Kilda. How do bi people feel about dating other bi people? I think we've heard something similar to this a few weeks ago. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't actually partaken in that at all.
You haven't dated a bi?
No, I haven't dated someone who was bisexual. So I don't really.
How would you feel about it then, I guess?
I think I'd feel okay with it, to be honest. And the reason why I'd feel okay with it is because I know that within myself, my sexual identity is something that I hold dear to my heart, and I would assume that because someone else has that identity as well, that they hold to their own heart as well. So
See, my anxiety is that I would be scared that I would ruin that for you being okay with it. Because if there's two terms that I've heard my partners in the past call me is high maintenance. So,
yeah.
So, look, I do not represent all of the bisexuals out there.
None of us do, thank goodness. That is a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And you're on Triple Bypass, Joy 94.9, and you're here with Anthony.
Tim.
And Ruby.
And we'd love for you to get involved, so feel free to send us a text message like Sandra just did on 0427-JOY-949, or better yet, send us an email on air@joy.org.au.
And that was Jessie J with Do It Like a Dude. Now, she was one of those people who came out as bisexual and then said it was a phase, which, you know, can happen. Fair enough. Mm. We miss you, Jessie. Please feel free to come back anytime.
Yeah, sort of renouncing bisexuality. You know, I've heard of renouncing Satan, but never bisexuality.
Get thee gone, genders. Get thee gone, open choices. I don't know. It's I suppose like everyone is of course free to make their own decisions as they want, and it just, you know, it doesn't help with the general conversation that we're trying to have about the, you know, validity of bisexuality. Mm.
Yeah, but in a way, I guess in a way that's what I like about the versatility of the bisexual status, identity, experience, that people can sort of float in and out. It gets sort of used as you wish. And yeah. I mean, there's so much versatility. I love it, love it.
Well, it's flexible in nature. It's fluid in nature. The fact that, you know, as soon as you've opened it up to more than one kind of gender, you've kind of, you know, really opened things up a bit. And there's a whole, you know, there's a whole huge spectrum that everyone kind of waves around when you can acknowledge that, which I think can come with bisexuality. Mm. It does very much open your eyes up to a whole lot of preferences that you might not even been aware that were okay or existed.
Yes, like polyamory.
Yes, like polyamory.
I mean, I don't want to reinforce a stereotype here, but this, you know.
Who is Australia? Okay, we just got another message in, so thank you. That was Luke from Coburg. Who is Australia's most famous bi person? Sia?
Besides us.
Besides us, of course. No, you're right. Aside from the Triple Bypass team, I would suggest that would be Sia, the singer.
Is she Australian? Sorry,
she's
I'm
a
really
New Zealander.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's like Russell Crowe over again.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Much.
Never mind. Anna Paquin?
New Zealander.
Oh, my God.
Well, we played Katie Underwood last week, and she's a sort of self-identified bisexual person.
Okay, taken, done, claim, done. Yeah, that's it. We'll go with that. Yeah. Lock it in,
and
Anthony.
Love her songs, too.
She's quite nice.
But, I mean, the fluidity around the term bisexual, I mean, it's only been in bi spaces where I've heard other terms like, you know, sexually fluid or pansexual. And and in a way, you know, I guess...
Gender as well, gender fluid. Queer. Hmm.
And so it might be a play on words. We might be all talking about the same thing. But you know, I think it gives us an opportunity to sort of... There's more movement to room around and wiggle, you know what I mean, when we're sort of thinking about our sexuality.
Well, I think, you know, for all the people call us, you know, our fence sitters, when you realise that there is no fence, there's a huge amount of space, and once you realize that one fence doesn't exist, all the other fences that have been put there suddenly look a little questionable as well, like does this need to be here?
Yes.
Do I need to be making a choice between these two things, or could I just knock the fence down and open up the entire space? Which is, I think, you know, why Margaret Cho, who is she's not Australian, but she is famous and bisexual. She speaks about her open marriage in her show Psycho, which is coming up soon.
Psycho.
That's the name of the show. I haven't met her, but I will be soon. We're doing an interview for this show, which will be on next week with Margaret Cho. Very exciting.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm going to be a bit breathless on the interview, I think. She's so great.
She is.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that I'll just be able to stay calm and ask her some really important questions, like, what's your most embarrassing moment? I'm sure she's never heard that one before.
So she does her stand-up shows. She'll be on Triple Bypass. You'll hear her next week here, Tuesday at 10. And she's going to be talking to us about what?
Well, that's up for us, but I suppose bisexuality would be a big one. You know, I'm always curious, like, what are some questions that you always kind of, when you meet a bisexual, what are some questions that you know you have common ground on? Like, you know, which gender did you find out you liked first, you know, or what was your moment of, oh, wait, it's both, you know, what was the defining moment?
Or how much percentage are you more attracted to women and how much are you more attracted to men? That kind of does my head in that.
That does. That's a question that I don't like.
Yeah, no, I can, but I can acknowledge that people do not feel equal levels of attraction to both genders. And I think it's just a matter of trying to put like little numbers on the exact details of it.
You can still define yourself as bisexual, even though it's not 50-50.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, I'm fully 100% attracted to women, and I'm fully 100% attracted to men. Mm. So does that answer?
That doesn't 200% of Anthony, more than enough to go around.
I'm not an accountant, you can tell, right?
No, I am always like a fully 100% into the person I'm with.
Mm.
Whether that be that being said, and when I'm not, I just like people. Like I haven't really found a preference. I keep on thinking I have a type, and then like I see something else, I'm like, oh yeah, that's nice, that is nothing like what I thought I was going to be into. This is great.
Mm. Yeah.
Full of surprises.
Yeah, but I do think that there are some privileges that come with I guess not just being a male for myself, but also with being bisexual. I think there's some bisexual privileges we're often very much discriminated against inside and outside of the GLBTI community, but I think that there are some benefits to it as well, because I find that I've been able to be invited into some fairly intimate, you know, emotionally intimate spaces with both genders, with men and women, because for some reason I'm seen as someone that they can do that with. And I wonder if it's about my sexuality or the fact that I am open to having intimate relationships in different ways with different people. I don't know.
Yeah, I have to admit that hasn't been my experience as much. What about you, Tim?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess like for me, I'll acknowledge that there's like the privilege of being able to buy, like, you know, of having not even the option, but, you know, the privilege of occasionally being in love with someone that, you know, society agrees that you can love publicly.
Mm.
That is definitely nice.
Yes.
You know, though, of course, as we all know, that, you know, you don't get to particularly pick which person like makes the fireworks go off.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of more like, you know, playing Russian roulette when you're bisexual. It's like, who's it going to be? You know, 50-50, like, you know, or like, you know, what's the chance? Because there's a chance here that the society is going to be like, oh, nope, try again. Nope, try again. Nope, that was terrible. And I guess for me, that was one of the things about being bisexual, is that, you know that it would be easier.
Yes.
And that you have that option, that if it does become too difficult, or, you know, you don't have to, I mean, of course it's not healthy and it's not happy and juicing, but you can choose to not put yourself in situations where you'll be around people of the same sex, that may be attracted to you or you'd be attracted to them. You know, you can distance yourself from that. That being said, I'm sure as anyone who's been in the closet knows, it does come at a cost, you know. Yeah.
Can be lonely in the closet. I reckon that's a great point, because I can so relate to that, and I think that perhaps maybe other bisexual people too, also can relate to
maybe
that.
Maybe Margaret Cho can relate to it. We will find out.
Yeah. I mean, I think having a same-sex male relationship did come with some of those barriers and those obstacles and those questions that you don't get in a heterosexual relationship.
Absolutely.
But we're going to leave that for the moment. Let's listen to a track and boogie, and we'll be back after this. You're on Joy. This is Triple Bypass, Joy 94.9.
I was bringing us in. You brought us in. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Tim.
And we have had a message. We've had someone renew their membership. That's always exciting.
No, that was a new member, actually, Marcella from Northcote. Welcome, Marcella, to Joy. It's so exciting to have you here, and we're so excited we got to read out your name. We hope you're listening in. Thank you very much. And we also have a message from Mary from Altona. Which fictional character do you wish was bi? Hermione Granger. Or, no, Hermione, Luna Lovegood and Ginny Weasley together.
There's probably some fanfic about that.
There is definitely fanfic. I mean, no, maybe, probably. Who knows?
The fictional character I wish was bi is God. I'm sorry, let's just move on, shall we?
Yeah, you can tell I'm an atheist. I can see that. Maybe. Oh, love everybody. Isn't that like the whole point of like, I think all
gender
of
fluid.
The... Exactly. Mm-hmm. No, can't pin them down. But yeah, let's move right along from that. Thank you. Anyway.
So we're talking about the term gay marriage that's used instead of referring it to marriage equality. And I guess we're looking at the emphasis, weren't we, when we were talking about gay marriage. We're talking about gay males. And this focus on sort of gay men and male needs, and I guess even the gay liberation movement, which was largely, from my understanding, organised by women in the women's movement, and then the face of the gay liberation movement became men.
Mm. Well, I think men have kind of become the face of queer everywhere. Mm. You know, like as we were saying before with the media, gay men, especially gay white men, have been like the vanguard, you know, like they're the ones that have gone out first to, like, you know, kind of soften them up for the rest of us, maybe. Mm. But it also does mean that, you know, it's, you know, I can't, like, you know, there are gay white men supporting Trump. There are gay white men supporting conservatives here. You don't see many gay, no, that's true. You see some gay women supporting conservatives. Not so many gay people of colour or queer people of colour. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you know, all of our biases exist even when we are queer. And I think, like, it's difficult because, you know, when you are a gay man, you've definitely faced things. But, like, you know, when that conversation then becomes silence, like, you know, recently what's coming up with the trials for PrEP, which is, like, you know, an HIV prevention drug, I was just reading about, you know, how the SBS sexuality program was talking about how much it, like, you know, was going to benefit this gay man and all these other gay men. And I was thinking, well, you know, bisexual men have sex with men too.
Yes.
Bisexual men also have sex with women. So that's, you know, so are bisexual men being included in trials? And are women with bisexual men who are positive being included in trials, are women being thought about in these trials at all? Mm. And I'm not sure, because I know that seeing HIV as a queer male issue is a Western thing, because in Africa, it is not a gendered illness. It affects both genders. But I do wonder how, of the way it's being talked about here, you know, is there thought being given to the fact that HIV, you know, or even just pass, like, you know, that not just gay men are at risk of HIV because not just gay men have sex with other men.
Hmm. I mean, it's hard not to see it as sexism because we, you know, you see even that when the trials came out, that when they were recruiting participants for these trials, they were advertising for men who have sex with men or same-sex attracted men. And women, like you said, largely removed from this, from having access to this treatment, when they too are at risk. They too are at risk.
Absolutely.
Lots of married men come to gay saunas and have sex with...
Exactly. Like, you know, like... Not to, like, it's not just bisexual men and women who date bisexual men. It's the fact that, you know, not everyone who has that identifies as gay or identifies as anything other than heterosexual.
Mm.
And I suppose that, you know, and the reasons they gave for, you know, they're saying, oh, the PBS won't cover it because this particular group is too at risk, being gay men. And it's just like, well, that's not the group. Not even, yes, like, you know, that, but that being said, like, gay men, there's probably a lot more openly gay men would be on the trials as opposed to openly bisexual men. But is that because of the need or because bisexual men don't feel comfortable coming out? I don't know.
Well, yeah, and if I guess if we're talking about sexual behaviour, I guess just the anecdotal example with my life is that I've generally noticed that men that I've had sex with have been more willing to have the conversation around having condoms involved in sex compared to women I've had sex with. The conversation sort of loosely comes up around sexual practices and sexual status.
That's about who's supposed to take responsibility and, like, if women are allowed to talk about that.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, you know, women who carry condoms, it's supposed to be like, you know, you're inviting attention. Like,
right.
You know, so, you know, being prepared is in some way being promiscuous and, you know, saying, oh, like, you know, and actually we don't really learn how to ask, do you have a condom? Like, it's not really like a, but, you know, that's a
great point.
Yeah, look, and it's interesting because, of course, again, condoms aren't 100% effective anyway. Now, we have a few messages in now. We have Sia. Okay, so this is Mel from Reservoir. Sia is from Adelaide. Also, Missy Higgins is bisexual too. I love Missy.
Woohoo, go Missy.
That's excellent.
I remember that.
Also, Christina, our AOL, absent without leave, bisexual friend, is over in New South Wales with her wife for a wedding. We miss you.
Miss
too.
You.
Brisbane.
She's in Brisbane. I've been corrected by our producer. She is in Brisbane, not New South Wales.
Is that a gay marriage she's at or a marriage equality?
Yeah, no. I think it's her sister getting married to a guy. I don't know. Okay. She sent me a photograph of a little rainbow unicorn. And I was like, it's my final form. One day I will transcend and I shall be a rainbow unicorn. And then no one can hurt me ever again.
Well, happy marriage out there in Queensland.
I hope it's a lovely wedding and that the what's that like, and that the alcohol is free.
Well, you would hope.
You'd really want an open bar on that one.
We've also got an SMS from Frankston.
Ooh.
This is Jenny, who says, was there ever a time you would have chosen to not be bisexual if you were given that option? Wow, that's a really big question for me. What how about you guys?
Not anymore. Like, not for a long time, but definitely. When I was younger and I was feeling so confused and, like, you know, and I thought, like, I'd only, you know, I'd like boys and that was fine. And then, like, you know, I was starting to, like, a friend had, like, told me she had feelings for me, and I was starting to, like, feel really strongly back, and I was just like, this is not how I expected my life to turn out. You know, this was not in the plan. And so I think during that whole period, it was just like, wouldn't it just be easier if I could just be like everybody else? Because at the school I was at, I was the only person who was out at all, or who was even, like, who I knew who was, you know, like, kissing same-sex people. So, like, you know, on the weekend I'd have come back from kissing this girl and just been like, I'm just like you guys. Don't look at me. Ah, yes, hanging with boys. Ha, 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 ha. Because, like, and I wasn't particularly popular at school, so I wasn't, like, you know, dating boys at school, because that just wasn't how it was going. So I was just kind of like, this hickey is from a boy.
Right.
What else could it possibly be?
Yeah.
And that was probably when I was just like, this would be a lot easier if I was just straight. And then later on now, I was like, this would be a lot easier if I was just gay.
Yeah.
You know, if I was just one or the other, if I was just monosexual, you know, but that's just not how it is.
I mentioned last week I was part of the ex-gay movement at one point, and that's something that I really, really... don't like reminiscing on, but at one point I did actually feel that I didn't want to be bi, I didn't want to identify as that, I didn't want to identify as gay either, and obviously through time it's changed, and you know, my sexuality is fluid, and my gender identity is fluid as well. I feel that that's the case, so...
It's a process, I think, to get there, because I mean, I relate to both of those stories, and I wonder if other people who identify as bisexual kind of can sort of hear some similarities there.
Mm.
But I definitely, if there was a pill that was given to me to take to get rid of my same-sex attractedness in my early 20s, I probably would have taken it, because it wasn't fun. There was no other people in my very northern suburbs wog boy kind of lifestyle that sort of I could sort of be open and confident enough to sort of bring this up to. But you know, as time went on, I, you know, and we've talked about this before around sort of labels, and do we like labels or don't we, and are they important? But for me, identifying as bisexual, hanging on to the B became such a badge of honor. It represented such a difficult and long journey that I went on, that I could sort of proudly say, yep, you know what, I'm bisexual.
I think I did just to spite people sometimes.
Me
you know
too,
just
yes.
Because they're like, oh, you know, so which one are you? I'm like, I'm bi. Yes, I know what you think about that. That's what I am. That's exactly what I am. Especially because I just, like, you know, when I was, like, you know, browsing the internet as a lonely teenager, all these people were just like, you know, if you think you're bisexual, prove it. And there was, like, that constant just kind of like, oh my God, all these teenage girls saying they're bisexual. And I was just like, yeah, I am. And there's nothing you can do about it.
There's that whole thing with uniqueness and, oh, you're only identifying that as that because you want to be unique.
Yeah.
And different to other people. And yeah.
Because being different is so much fun. Well, no, look, it is. Being different is amazing. And honestly, being bisexual has opened up the world to me in ways I could not have even... I can't even, like, you know, begin to imagine not having. So I would not change it for anything in the world.
We rock.
We do. We really do.
Speaking of rocking...
And time for a song. You're on Joy. You're on Triple Bypass. This is Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby.
I'm Tim.
I'm Anthony.
And we have come back to a message. This is from City Man. You also can message us, by the way, before I read out City Man's message. It's on 0427-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au like City Man has. And this says, hi, team. PrEP trials are for men who have sex with men, not gay people in isolation. Please be clear about this, as it's misleading to say it's only for gay men. Thanks.
And yeah, City Man, we agree with you that we need to clarify that we weren't just talking about gay men, we're talking about men, because the priority around the whole PrEP trials and the emphasis of offering Truvada to the community was to prioritise men's needs above women's. In fact, not even above women's, women weren't even on the radar. So just to clarify that we wanted to emphasise that point. So perhaps we used gay men, we shouldn't have used the term gay men, we should have just said men.
Yeah, and I think we were talking because, you know, it's only gay men who only have sex with other men. That's, you know, so by excluding women from, you know, from the discussion about the usage of PrEP, only gay men benefit. And of course, it is great that, you know, don't get me wrong, I think this is an incredible drug and I'm really glad Victoria's pushing through with a trial.
Mm.
I just do believe we need to have a look at how we are deciding these things as a community, because while we, you know, I understand like that, well, obviously I don't quite understand, but there's a lot of stuff that happened before I was even born that has helped shape the community, and a lot of it has to do with gay men or men who had sex with men and contracted AIDS and died. And that's shaped a lot of our community, but we need to move forward.
Yes.
And we need to realize that some guys who have sex with guys also have sex with women. And that's a thing that definitely happens. Those women need to have protection as well.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, it's inclusivity we're trying to sort of emphasize and talk about. So, you know, if we're going to be exclusive in one area, it harms us all. You know, it's all connected.
Oh, City Man says, all good, I'm not precious. That's great. Well, you're precious to us, City Man, because you messaged us in and we appreciate the engagement.
And thank you for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate that too. We appreciate you, City Man. Speaking of appreciate, I appreciate this show and I appreciate the fact that, you know, there is just like people, bisexual people chatting. I've never been in a room with bisexual people before, except for this one dream I had, but that was different because that was just like, you know, it was like some bisexual people, like, you know, Virginia Woolf for some reason was there because she was bisexual. Anyway.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe they should, we should wear identifying jackets or something. You know, like in golf when they win a tournament, they give them these ridiculous purple jackets to wear. Purple's a gay, sort of bi-colour. Maybe we can wear purple jackets out in the community.
Oh, well, I was thinking more of like a bomber jacket, like, you know, the varsity football players wear in the US. They look pretty cool.
Yeah, like those jock jackets with a big A on the front.
No, but with big Bs, you know, where are the Bs?
Oh, Bs, yes, yeah.
Maybe even an actual B. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, no, I suppose that's the interesting thing again with labels and, like, you know, should we be having these anagrams and, like, you know, these letters in when, you know, we should be uniting together as opposed to separating ourselves. But the B's there because Bs fought really hard for it. And just like all the letters are there, you know, but, you know, again, it started off as gay, and then the lesbians were like, actually, there's not just gays. And so we're slowly expanding. I think it's just a matter of the slight swivel needed in perspective, not just from within the community, but how everyone else sees us.
And not just the fact that there's sort of diverse and sort of differences that exist sort of between groups in the GLBTI, but even within groups, I mean, we're absolutely very diverse and vibrant and colourful. And
we love making up flags and stuff. You know, it's great. All of our little sub-communities have flags. I love that the Bears have got a flag, the Leather Group's got a flag, Dykes and Bikes have got a flag. It's great.
Yeah, and something about socks as well. I've never seen so many knee-height pairs of socks being worn at Pride March ever before than the last one.
I'm sorry, is the knee-height socks a thing? Is that like a signalling thing? Is it like the new like handkerchief in the back pocket?
It may be.
I don't know what it means.
I actually remember reading about, like, you know, the research of the flags in the back pockets and how women had developed femme flagging, which is with your nail polish.
Oh.
And so basically, you know, you'd pick two fingers to, like, you know, you'd pick two particular fingers on your hand to colour one colour and you leave the rest. Like, also you'd have two varying colours, and the idea was to signal pretty quickly that, yeah, I'm into the ladies. And the whole two fingers thing, it was really clever, but also different colours, like, you know, black meaning, like, you know, I'm into BDSM, or, like, you know, green meaning, you know, go for it, I'm open, you know, orange meaning, just maybe give it a go, but proceed with caution.
Wow, that's a really, really sophisticated language happening there.
That came from the, you know, from what gay men did with back pocket handkerchiefs. That was, I think, you know, where there was like this whole code and, like, you know, which pocket you put it in, like, was like indicated whether you were topping or bottoming, or, like, you know, or like it's very interesting. We had some incredible signaling systems. We still do. But it was amazing how we adapted to all of that stuff.
And the subtleness is completely gone. I mean, I go to the pill now and there's no sort of this sort of guessing and subtle messages and trying to sort of communicate things across to the other person. We've gotten lazy.
It's a certain gay demographic. Like, it's a certain queer demographic, though. They're not all, like, you know, not all young gay guys go to the pill anymore. But I guess we have to stop again because it's time for some sponsorship announcements here on Joy.
Hello, you are listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Tim.
I'm Anthony.
You are indeed on Joy 94.9. And it is coming up to the end of our show. I think my mic just went on. Was my mic? Andy, turn my mic off. That's rude. Anyway, now that we're back and my mic's on, we're here for the very last 5 minutes of the show. Thank you so much for listening in tonight, guys. It's been great. Now, what we have coming up is a lightning round. Are you ready for 11 things you could ask a bisexual person, but probably shouldn't? Now, the answer for this is, when was the first time someone asked you this question? First question. Let's be honest, bisexuality isn't real, is it? Tim, go.
When I was 14.
Anthony.
Of course not.
When no one's ever asked you, no one's ever said that
to
you?
No, that's my answer to them.
Anthony missed the question. When was the first time someone said that to you? Mine was, I think, when I was 17.
I don't know if I've ever specifically had that question, but I've had a lot of sort of reactions in that sort of territory of sort of thinking.
So. Okay, next question. But eventually you'll choose to be either gay or straight? Question mark?
Yeah, my mother kind of went there with that when she was trying to work out whether or not I was going to be able to have any grandchildren for her.
I have to admit, for me, it was like, well, if I have a partner who I settle down with, I will be with that partner, and that will be either a gay or a straight relationship. But personally, no. Me, I will never be gay or straight. Tim?
It's been asked quite continuously throughout my life, that particular question, both from gay men as well as straight men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. Yeah. Number 9. Really, are you just being greedy? Yes.
That's another one that I hate.
Well, define greedy. I mean, the whole world's the, like, we get to eat everything at the buffet. Why would, you know, have a bit
I
of
I got this more in my later teens after I finished high school. And this is when I got more from other queer people, not from straight people. Most straight people did not, like, this was like a very queer reaction to me being bisexual. But yeah, that was at uni. Number 8. You must have had a lot of group sex. These aren't even questions. You must have had a lot of group sex, ... Anthony.
Yeah. Like, and what? Where's the question bit? Like,
is it I think I was first asked that by one of, you know, I wasn't asked that, but I was asked to be in a threesome by a good friend when I was 17.
There's always that assumption as well. Much. Like, you'll be going for it.
When was that? When were you first asked to be in a threesome?
Around that time as well.
Yeah. Next one. Are you just confused? I think I was asked that
constantly,
even before I came out as bisexual, as an adolescent girl. But yeah, that was, I think, the first response I got.
I think that's a fair question. I'll take that seriously. Ambivalence is something I've learned to live with because it is a reality for me. And I have a relationship with ambivalence now. How's that? So ambivalence is like a thing with me now.
So what, like being removed and not really giving, just being chill?
Being unsure, constantly not sure if is this the fullest expression of my sexuality, being with this person or that person, or is polyamory the model for me? And so there's constant ambivalence, which I'm sort of okay with. That's a degree of unsettledness.
Here's the next question. But when you're dating a man / woman, you become gay or straight, right?
Nope.
No, no, but this is definitely something I've had people ask, like, you know, so you're a lesbian now, is what I get when I say I'm dating a girl, or if I'm dating a guy, oh, so you're straight again. And it's just like, it's not a switch. It's not like, you know, we don't just toggle ourselves on and off.
This was the same thing with the Larry King and Anna Paquin interview that we were talking about last week.
Yeah, and I think that again started pretty quickly after I came out with a girlfriend. Like, so you're a lesbian, and I think that's how usually it starts, as opposed to being like, you become gay or straight, so you're dating this person now. Therefore, aren't you this thing now? Mm-hmm.